Archbishop Fulton Sheen once told the story of sitting next to a man on an airplane when the man introduced himself as a non-practicing Catholic who had been an usher at his local parish in the past. But the conversation went south, as only a conversation can do when you're trapped in a tin can flying through the sky, as the man went on a lengthy diatribe on everything that was wrong with the church. Archbishop Sheen listened, asked a few gentle questions, and prayed for the Holy Spirit to help him try to get through to a man who was obviously very angry and wanted to take it out on the first man in a Roman collar he saw. When I first heard this story, I kind of assumed that the man was in good faith and had experienced some kind of religious trauma. After all, we often hear stories of things priests have said or done, and were horror stories, right? And I chalked it up to yet another sad episode in the long history of clerical malfeasance in the church. But Fulton Sheen went another route and asked the former minister of hospitality, "So how much did you steal?" The man was so shocked by the question, he admitted that he had stolen thousands of dollars from the collection plate at the parish. The archbishop never went on to say if the man was then reconciled or not. Maybe he was under the seal of the confessional after the public conversation in the airplane led to the sacrament of penance. But it happens quite often that people get very loud and in your face about everything that is wrong with the church, sometimes in a way which seems so over the top and extreme that even spirited debate dissolves into a very unpleasant encounter. Now, don't get me wrong, I am not making excuses for bad behavior among the clergy. However, sometimes there are people who accuse the church of doing what they've been thinking about all day, right? And they just can't help themselves. My spidey senses often go crazy when I see someone obsessing over someone else's sins and spending every waking moment on crusades to exterminate the perpetrator. Because how many times have we seen those people end up in scandal and manifest their own hypocrisy? The Catholic Church doesn't have a special corner on that, for sure. On a less horrifying topic, more common is the criticism that the Catholic Church is filthy rich, and if we just sell off the treasures of the church, it could end world hunger, right? Have you ever heard this? Now, some well-meaning people say, "Well, Jesus did say the poor you'll always have with you," as if that is an answer. The more biblically astute will point out the quote comes from John chapter 12, when Jesus goes to visit his friends in Bethany and they throw him a dinner. Mary breaks open a jar of expensive nard, pours it over the feet of the Savior, and dries his feet with her hair. We read, "But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. The extravagance of Mary is contrasted with the miserliness and thievery of Judas. Catholics have seen in this a healthy skepticism towards people who seem to be all about the poor when they really have another agenda. And Catholics also see in this a love for beauty, given over to the exclusive service of Almighty God. Beauty is part of the patrimony of humanity and is as just as important to the human person as food and water. As Catholics, we know that it is a both and, right? Like so many things in our faith, scripture and tradition, faith and works, faith and reason, giving things over to beauty and also serving the poor. Right? You don't have to choose one or the other. As Catholics, we get to do all the things. Now, St. John Chrysostom thundered against those, however, who would ignore the poor. Of what use is it to weigh down Christ's table with golden cups when he himself is dying of hunger? First, fill him when he's hungry. Then use the means you have left to adorn his table. Will you have a golden cup made, but not give a cup of water? What is the use of providing the table with cloths woven of gold thread and not providing Christ himself with the clothes he needs? What profit is there in that? Tell me, if you were to see him lacking the necessary food, but were to leave him in that state and merely surround his table with gold, would he be grateful to you, or rather would he not be angry? What if you were to see him clad in worn-out rags and stiff from the cold, and were to forget about clothing him, and instead were to set up golden columns for him, saying that you were doing it in his honor? Would he not think he was being mocked and greatly insulted? Apply this also to Christ when he comes along the roads as a pilgrim, looking for shelter. You do not take him in as your guest, but you decorate floor and walls and the capitals of the pillars. You provide silver chains for the lamps, but you cannot bear even to look at him as he lies chained in prison. The Golden Mouth preacher was addressing a real pastoral issue in Constantinople in the 4th century. Remember that Christians for the first time could newly build and adorn magnificent churches. And so they were vying with each other to be seen to be the patrons of the arts and the churches, while the poor were starving at the church door. Their gifts were lavish, but they weren't really about God. They were about them and their vanity and status in an emerging Christian order. But St. John Chrysostom also put it in context. Once again, I'm not forbidding you to supply these adornments, right? This is an important thing. I'm urging you to provide these other things as well, and indeed, to provide them first. No one has ever been accused for not providing ornaments, but for those who neglect their neighbor, a hell awaits with an inextinguishable fire and torment in the company of demons. Do not, therefore, adorn the church and ignore your afflicted brother, for he is the most precious temple of all. Catholics want beautiful churches and beautiful things made by true artisans for the worship of God. But they also want not to gripe about the poor in abstract terms of revolution, right? You know, you have people that they talk and talk and talk constantly about structures of sin and injustice and discrimination and all that. And all that is true to a point. But they don't actually do anything about it, right? Catholics want to serve the actual poor in their midst, the ones who are in front of them. The two go together just as surely as the Christ who reigns in glory and majesty, who is also crowned with thorns. Why? because of the Epiphany, the feast we celebrate today. The wise men did not bring any kind of gifts to the Christ child. They brought gifts fit for a king. The Magi were royalty in their own right. They knew dignity and splendor when they saw it, even in such a mean and poor abode as that of the Holy Family. They could have been stingy and skimped out, wanting to reserve their riches for someone who could be bought for their own agenda. They could have walked all that way and mocked the poverty of Mary and Joseph, or virtue signaled by giving them something a bit more useful, like blankets or a DoorDash coupon. Right? But they gave gifts fit for a king and recognized the true glory that can dwell even in simplicity. Epiphany is not just about recognizing the sovereignty of the infant king. It's also about giving us a fresh perspective on how to use the goods of this world and to give them their due balance and measure. It's about falling on our faces in worship before the divine, taking on human flesh, but also falling to our knees to wash the feet of others in service. I hope you still have your Christmas trees up, right? And that you didn't get burned out on the holiday merrymaking already, so you want to just get back to normal. Because when it comes to faith, there is no normal. There's only grace. And there's so much grace to be found. Especially if you don't steal from the collection plate or the tables of the poor.